It is time for our good friends at theberkshireedge.com, theberkshireedge.com, of course. We translate that on the radio to the Berkshire Edge on air, and we welcome in David and Marcy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I want to hear more about Uncle Lou. That's what I want to hear.
Uncle, all right, I'm going to tell you something about Uncle Lou.
Thank God it's not Uncle Ernie.
No, I'm your wicked Uncle Ernie. Here's the great thing about Uncle Lou. Not only did he get himself into some difficulty along the way, so he was black sheepish, but he had daughters. He didn't have a son. And he just loved his daughters. And he passed, all girls. You know, he just, it's like, you know, he was the guy who was the champion, the girl champion.
All right. Well, he was what he was.
No, 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 I'm not done with the best part of Uncle Lou. Well, David asked. Never mind. I'll tell it another time.
Another time.
Another time.
Another time. Let's just talk about news.
Well, why not? You could send us a little.
not really.
A synopsis.
Yeah, we'll
I'm done.
Story, and then we can report on it.
You were the
then
one.
We can talk about
send
it.
A
right.
synopsis.
Right. I'll have an opinion, and then you can write a story. How about
right.
that?
Okay.
All right. Well, we will take a look at some of the stories we're following, and once again. The finality of the first story, even though it happened a while ago, is still very, very, very shaking. It's hard to believe, but once again, the murder suicide that happened in Sheffield.
Yeah, this is a guy named Luke Karpinski, who killed his wife and children.
This happened in March.
It happened in March, medical examiner, the reason that this story we have to revisit is the medical examiner finally issued a report that confirmed, the details. So people had to revisit that grisly crime. And it was really, really shocking.
It's one of those things. We tend to just not expect things like this to happen out here, and of course, they do. But like you said, the worst part of this is the report comes out, and it has to be. The medical examiner has to issue the report, and it is news.
Yeah.
But boy, it just brings it up like it happened yesterday. It just.
And it was horrible to begin.
Yeah. It was just horrible.
Yeah, and so to just have to revisit it, and it's.
Yeah, this is a guy who murdered his wife and three children, and then. Burned his house down, or attempted to, and killed himself in the process.
Did he? It wasn't clear to me how he died. I mean, did he
smoke
kill
inhalation.
Himself? Or he died in the fire. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, so that it just like I said, it just brought back vivid memories. We'll go on to something else, and that is Construct Inc. Coming up on the 10th.
Construct. They call it. Yeah, that's how they.
They call it Construct.
They call it Construct.
Well, Construct is
what can we say? That's
but reads Construct.
Yeah.
Right.
But Construct is holding its warm up the winter concert.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people should go to this.
Yeah. It's Construct is a wonderful organization that helps the homeless and those who are needing assistance and getting heating. Fuel for heating, and that's what this is. Concert is to raise money for people who don't have enough money to buy, heating oil.
And also, this money will help with burst pipes or dead batteries, and things that prevent people from having heat in the winter. But Construct is more than just providing heat. It had its 50th anniversary last year, and it's an organization that is greatly supported by the local community, but is not so well understood broadly, because what they do is they figure out ways to provide housing for people who can't find it. And they either shelter them temporarily, or they build and manage housing, or they now. Once a year they have this concert called Warm Up the Winter to buy heat. But it is a terrific local organization.
And once a year in the fall they have a big walk.
It goes from the ski
walk
area,
to the homeless, right? From Butternut Ski Area into downtown Great Barrington.
Yeah, past to the other side, to the fairgrounds.
To the fairgrounds, and you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people take part in this, and it's quite a parade.
Yeah,
that people get out and support this effort.
That's kind of a long walk.
It is a long walk. Yes.
Yeah, it takes most of the day to do.
Yeah, it's a long walk, but
it's a tradition.
This is going to be a good concert.
Yeah.
Let's see, where is it? It's at the Mahaley,
right.
It's at 6:30, and the show begins. There's a warm up at 6:30, and the warm up, not no pun intended. The show begins at 7.
It's Wanda Houston.
Wanda Houston this year. She was last year. Wanda Houston will be there this year too.
Here's a kicker: Alan Chartok with his Berkshire Ramblers is going to be there as well. WAMC.
Sure, they know.
He claims to be able to play the banjo.
What does he think he is, Steve Martin?
He wishes.
Yeah. I mean, Steve Martin was really pretty good, actually.
Steve Martin is an excellent. I don't know if you've ever heard his whole ensemble when they go around. They're phenomenal.
Steve Martin?
Yeah, they're phenomenal. They do concerts all over the country. They're phenomenal. They're amazing.
He's really good.
It's what started off. He just used it as a joke, but it's interesting. It's nice to benefit.
It is nice to benefit.
Well, let's go.
People will feel good by going.
That's the whole thing. You like to be entertained.
$25, you can get a show and feel good.
Yeah, that's it's nice. You help out the community. You've got your series on affordable housing.
Yes, we do.
Oh yeah. Well, you know that. Speaking of affordable housing and people needing places to live, we've been running a series about it's not that simple. it's a name of a column that we run, and one of the participants in it is a selectman, Ed Abrams, and his pal Pedro Pachano, and they. I've been doing a couple of shows on affordable housing and what the town can do to provide that for people. But you know, it's stunning how little affordable housing there really is, actually. They have statistics about. You know, the number of people who are in hurting for housing, and it's a big campaign to see if we can remedy this problem.
Yeah, I mean, one of the people who participated in this radio show is from Construct.
Yeah,
June Wolf. She's the housing director, and she said that they have. They have a waiting list of 700 people.
Yeah.
So the Construct has a total of 80 units in South County with a waiting list of 700.
The people who qualify.
Yeah. And it's very difficult for people at the lower end because many of their housing units, I mean, they have units at 60% of... affordable housing, you know, 60% and 50% and 30%. But if you can't even afford 30% of a regular rent, there really isn't much here for you.
It's that way throughout the whole area. You know, we live in people that come and vacation in our area because we are a vacation spot just don't realize that, yes, it is a vacation spot. And yes, there's lots of expensive properties and houses and ski areas and Tanglewood and all these theaters and everything like that. But behind all that, there's a lot of people that can barely afford to live here.
And not only that, but all of these wonderful attractions require staff who don't get paid that much.
Yeah.
I mean, the restaurants require wait staff and clearing staff and kitchen staff, and you know, and where are these people supposed to live? I mean, that's the problem. You have to build housing for the infrastructure. Otherwise, you have no, you know, attractions for tourists.
Well, and then it all, and then that all comes back to the declining enrollment in schools.
Right. No, it's the crux of the cycle that needs to be broken, basically.
Yes. Well, you know, and many people talk about it. I mean, it is
everyone talks about it. It's a cycle that needs to be broken.
Everybody talks about it, but nobody, you know, it's very hard to do anything about it because people, the second homeowners have driven up the price of housing because they can afford to pay more than, you know, the old country houses, which might have been handed down, you know, from generation to generation, can get sold for much more.
You know,
might have been available for rental.
And because of the lack of economic opportunities, you know, the people who grew up here have moved away to find a job. So
no,
it's kind of a vicious circle here.
And then they don't come back, and they don't have children. And
then you also add NIMBY, not in my backyard.
That's the
final crux of the problem.
Right.
So it's a problem that I said that years ago when I ran for the Board of Education. You folks are worrying about the wrong thing. You have to worry about getting more people to be able to move into the area.
Yeah, not less.
Yeah. How about, you have to have, you have to worry about the number of people being educated.
Right. Speaking of NIMBY, this is something that David didn't put on the list, but we also ran a very interesting editorial the other day about this proposal to grow marijuana in a industrial zone, which happens to be near many houses. What our editorial said is just be careful because you may have they've suspended the fulcrum who made the proposal has suspended their proposal for a minute, but you know we suspect they'll come back or someone will come back with something even worse because there are regulations for the town to be able to control marijuana, but there are no regulations for the town to control hemp or other things that are, you know, that might be even worse than the marijuana. So we're kind of waiting. I mean, everybody's kind of waiting to see what Fulcrum is going to do next. The town, the abutters have, you know, have had a little victory in the middle. They've caused Fulcrum to suspend their plan, but everybody's suspecting that they may come back, and that will be, you know, that's going to be a real fight.
An expensive fight as well.
And an expensive fight, right.
Probably
more expensive than what the investment in the houses are worth.
Yes,
the nearby houses,
too. We know all about that.
I
want to go into your next story because it's something that affects our area, your area, and there's pros and there are people against it. But rail service, passenger rail service from New York City to the Berkshires via.
There are fewer. We think that there are fewer people against it now than there were maybe 10 or 15 years ago.
I just want to be able to go down to Connecticut by train.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to have to drive on Route 7. I want to just take the train from Great Barrington to Lakeville.
Right.
Actually, it wouldn't be to Lakeville. It would be to Canaan.
It would be Canaan Union Station. And then,
Yes.
Didn't we have that
station.
Already?
Yeah, that has a ring to it, doesn't it?
Is it a beautiful station? It
was.
Which one?
Union Station in Canaan.
Oh, it's back to looking gorgeous
again. It
looks
great.
It is back to looking good.
They've got the museum there now because it's a nonprofit about the railroad museum, really great brewery that's in that where the restaurant used to be. So
right.
So it looks gorgeous again. It's a nice centerpiece in Canaan.
And are there any trains?
No, of course not.
No.
Connecticut doesn't have the money to reestablish the line yet up to Massachusetts. Yeah. But there are people in Connecticut and Cornwall and Kent that are dead set against it as well because of the way the current train operator operates and destroys destroys their trees and their shrubs and things like that. So it's a little murky. It all depends
on who, you know, it's going to require some diplomacy, basically.
But sooner or later, it's going to come back because it has to come back.
I guess roads don't do that, do they? Highways. They don't destroy shrubs or trees.
Not on a yearly basis when they spray dangerous chemicals like the railroad does. It's not like trimming. When the railroad goes in there, it looks like Death Valley when they're finished. And it goes beyond the right of way. But that can all be worked out because sooner or later that rail service is going to have to connect the Berkshires down to New York City. It's just going to have to. You just look at the success of what's happened with the railroad station over in Wasaic, or just south of Amenia.
Well, you know, and there's two ways to go. You could go, you know, down to Stamford, or you could rebuild the connection back into the Wasaic station.
The Wasaic station already goes to Grand Central, which is kind of cool.
Right. But there is a line that goes from Danbury.
Which goes over to the
Wasaic line. Southeast. There's tracks there, but
once again, those tracks would have to be rehabilitated, and Connecticut just does not have the money right now.
Right.
But anyway.
But we would like that. I mean, it's very difficult to. I mean, it's difficult to get to New York from here. You know, we have to drive to Wasaic, and we are at least closer to Wasaic than people in Stockbridge or West Stockbridge. So,
but what we're referring to is that Carol Owens wrote a story about kind of looking at the history of the railroad and the railroad connection between Stockbridge and New York, and we have some pictures of the. Very old pictures of the Stockbridge Railroad Station, which has now been renovated by the Fitzpatrick family. Jack Fitzpatrick, when he was alive, had a fondness for railroads, and so he bought the station and completely rehabilitated it in historically accurate. The gleaming wooden benches and all of that are in that station, ready to be used.
Right.
You know, we'll see what happens, but sooner or later it'll be back. It's just got to be done at the right time.
Who knows?
Yeah.
but Carol's piece is really charming. I mean, you can just imagine when you read it, people coming and going. By train to Stockbridge, you know, and you go through these towns and you realize how alive they were when the trains were running. That people came into downtown, they stopped at the restaurants. There was businesses within walking distance of the train tracks, and there was a real activity downtown, and that.
Well.
That's gone.
My idea is that there should be a Tanglewood Express, and it should come up to Stockbridge, and where people can then get taxis to Tanglewood. But on the train, you would be able to have delicious Berkshire meals in a dining car. What do you think?
In anticipation of the concert.
I think it's a good idea, and I think its time will come probably when we're very old and gray.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that'll be good. Then we'll be driven to Tanglewood instead of having to drive ourselves.
You know, we have about 5 minutes left, and I want to get to the story, which is a great story about the demise of the general stores and villages. There, you know, more and more gas stations are less gas stations than they are. These modern village stores, except that they're not the quaint old village stores that used to be run by families. They're run by multi-million-dollar corporations.
Well, we're talking about the Mill River General Store, which was really a wonderful gathering place in the little village of Mill River, and it closed finally.
You know, when I grew up in Sharon, there was the Middlebrook store in West Cornwall. There was two stores, the Bates Meat Market. There was also Bierce's General Store. There were general stores in every town.
Well, general stores, yeah. And often they had the post office.
Yeah,
in them. So, listen, I have to leave and take. Marcy will continue, yeah. But I have to leave to take my kid to school. So,
well, take your kid to school because we don't want any truant officers.
That's
no,
right.
No.
I'm going to blame you.
Do they
you
still have truant officers?
You can blame me because they'd have a right to come after me.
All right.
All right. Take care,
David. Talk to you next week.
Now,
I'll continue with the last story.
Yeah, the Mehabe Performing Arts Center.
Yeah, well, there is a writer named Rachel Louise Snyder who has written a book called No Visible Bruises, and she's going to be speaking, and it was considered one of the 10 best books of 2019 by the New York Times, and she covers what the World Health Organization has called a global health problem of epidemic proportions, and that is violence against women. And she reports that global data on the prevalence of violence against women reveals that one-third of all women will experience either intimate partner or non-partner violence, with intimate partner violence being the most common type of violence against women. So Snyder is going to be speaking, not at the Mahaley, but at the Colonial Theater, this Thursday, tomorrow, February 6th at 5:30, and it should be extremely interesting. You know, it's being supported. There are sort of more than 30 groups throughout Berkshire County who have been reading and discussing Snyder's book, and because she presents strategies to address the issue, so it should be quite interesting, but you know, it's kind of shocking when you think that one-third of women will face this kind of domestic violence.
That's what the Women's Support Service around here helps get that message across and has for over 20 years. So,
but there are a whole bunch of organizations that are, you know, part of this and have been discussing this book. You know, the Boys and Girls Clubs, Habitat for Humanity, Working Cities, Young Parents Support Program of 18 Degrees, Mass Higher, Men Initiating Change, the NAACP, Community Health Program. I mean, there are just a lot of them, including the Berkshire County Superintendents Roundtable purchased a copy of the book for every high school in the Berkshires. So it is a serious issue.
Yep. All right. Well, with that being said, those stories and more, theberkshireedge.com, theberkshireedge.com. And we'll speak to you guys next week.
Yes.
Thank
okay.
you.
Take
Thank
care.
Thank you. Bye. Right.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air here on Robin Hood Radio.